Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Long Reign of Manasseh, as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse 24. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And in those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death. And he prayed unto Yahweh, and he spake unto him, and gave him a sign. The Lord spoke to him, gave him a sign. But Hezekiah was healed. God gave him an extra 10 years or so, a little bit more. But Hezekiah rendered not again. After this, he did not render according to the benefit that was done to him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. After this, he became proudful. It's sort of tragic. After God has done such a spectacular work in a man's life, that the man sort of gets lifted up. And that is the danger, always. We see it today. We see it today demonstrated in the ministries where God will bless a man's ministry. And the man gets lifted up with pride. And how God then brings them down. But you begin to think, well, it's my ability, or it's my personality, or it's my, you know, And so with Hezekiah, you know, I've got this power with God. And boy, I'll tell you, bad news. So he did not render to the Lord according to the things that God had done. He was lifted up with pride. And when God then began to deal with him, he humbled himself for the pride of his heart. He did respond, which is good, unto God. He and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Now he was exceedingly wealthy, and he had a lot of honor. He made for himself treasuries for the silver and for the gold and for the precious stones and for the spices and for the shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. He had storehouses also for the corn and the wine and the oil. And then he had these stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Remember, David said, you took me out of the sheep coat. A coat is an enclosure, a stall for the sheep. And so he had these stalls. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks, herds in abundance, for God had given him a great amount of substance. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon, and we've talked about this already. He brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. There came, after the Assyrians were wiped out, the Babylonians were so happy, they sent emissaries to him to congratulate him, you know, on the recovery. Then he was sick unto death, and he was healed. And so they sent these emissaries to say, oh, you know, great guy, you know, wonderful. And so in his pride, he began to show off the wealth. Took him in, showed him all his, you know, jewels, all the gold, all the silver and all. And the prophet came to him and said, who were these guys that came, that were just leaving? He said, they were the Babylonians. He said, what did you show them? He said, I showed them everything. He said, you have planted the seeds of disaster. They have seen the wealth, and now greed will fill their heart. They'll go back and they'll talk about it, and soon the Babylonian army will be down here to rip off this wealth. And of course, it did happen. But it was sort of a prideful thing, going to show off how wealthy I am. Pride cometh before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So it was a testing of God. He failed. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, his goodness, behold, they're written in the vision of Isaiah. And we'll get it when we get to the book of Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel, which we've already covered. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers. They buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres. Good king, got a good burial in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did honor him at his death. And Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. Interesting thing now. His father was a horrible king, a wicked king. He basically was a good king. His son Manasseh was horrible. Interesting. Just flip-flop. From a bad king to a good king, now to a horrible king, and then we'll come back to a good king again, Josiah. So it's a period of yo-yoing, really, for the nation as far as the leadership is concerned. 3 years after the Lord extended the life of Hezekiah, his wife bore a son they named Manasseh. Manasseh was such a wicked, horrible ruler, did evil in the eyes of the Lord, that you would very likely say concerning Manasseh, it would have been much better for the nation if that man had never been born. Is there such a thing as the permissive will of God in contrast to the direct will of God? It would seem that there are scriptures that do indicate that such is the case. God will allow or permit certain things to take place in our lives that are not His direct will for us. I believe that many times we hinder that full work that God desires to do in us and ultimately through us. I will limit that which God desires. We do read concerning the nation of Israel in the Psalms that they limited the Holy One of Israel through their unbelief. In other words, God would have done more. And the indication is that God desired to do more. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. That's the direct will of God. But in the permissive will of God, men do perish. In the permissive will of God, men do walk in their own ways. The Bible says of another group that God gave them, the children of Israel in the wilderness, as they were craving after the meat, lusting for meat, said, "We are tired and we are sick of this manna. Our souls hate this thing. It's loathsome to us. It's bland. It's mild. We need some onions and garlic and, you know, some zing to the food, and we want some meat." And it says God gave them the desires of their flesh, but brought them leanness of soul. In other words, God allowed or permitted certain things to take place because of the insistence of the people that were not necessarily His best for them or His primary will for them. It would appear that it was God's time for Hezekiah to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, pleaded, begged, cried all night. And God said, "All right, I'll give you another 15 years, but those 15 years were disastrous years, and they produced Manasseh. Disastrous years for Hezekiah, because this man who up to this point had been so in tune with God, walking in the ways of the Lord, was lifted up in his own heart in pride after this experience. And he actually, after this exposed his riches and pride to the Babylonian emissaries that had come when they heard of his recovery from his sickness. And the Babylonian emissaries came to congratulate him, and he showed them all the treasures. And the prophet said, "Why did you do that? Now they are going to carry those treasures away to Babylon one day." I mean, all of these things, the wrong things, came to him after this 15-year extension. You often wonder what the history would have been had he died at that time that it would seem that God had appointed unto him to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. It would seem that Hezekiah interceded and changed that appointment, but in his so doing, entering into this gray area of permissive will, that he lost out in God's best and did in fact bring disaster unto himself and unto the kingdom. I think that one of the highest relationships that we can experience with God is that relationship of full commitment on our parts to the will of God. There's such peace with that. All right, Lord, if this is your time, you know, praise your name. And to just go with it. I had a couple of experiences in life that I thought maybe I was, you know, facing eternity. Once when a fellow who didn't really have a full load of bricks, the guy said, "I want to talk to you out in the car." Kay was behind the door saying, "He's crazy. He'll pull a gun on you and kill you. He's crazy. Don't go out to the car with him." And the guy said, "I want to talk to you out in the car." Pulled a .45 on me. Put it in my stomach and pulled the trigger. And I watched the chamber come around. I saw the shells in the thing. And he pulled it twice, the trigger twice. The thought that I had was, I'm married to a prophetess. Now, they say that, you know, your whole life goes before you. My whole life didn't go before me. That was my thought. I thought, well, this is my last thought. I'm married to a prophetess, you know. And I really thought that that was it. But I found out that he was just testing my faith, he said, to see if I really trusted God. And he said, "You passed the test." Well. But there was a commitment. Well, Lord, if this is my time, fine. Several years ago, I was pastoring a little church where I was janitor. And I was the pastor. And I was working in a business of repairing mobile homes on the side, putting in 70 hours a week or so to keep things going. And on a Saturday night late, as I was cleaning the church for Sunday services, I started getting pains around my chest and a numbness in my arm, and I'd heard about heart attacks, and I thought, you know, this must be it. And I sat down on the front row, and I said, "Okay, Lord, if we're going, let's go, you know." Been a good life. And I thought, you know, maybe I was going, but sat down for a little bit, felt better, so I had to finish cleaning the church. But it is that commitment to the Lord. Lord, my life is yours. My life is in your hands. You are in control. And the peace that comes from knowing that God is in control, it's a beautiful thing. A life of commitment. When we try to alter God's plans, I think that we can often get into trouble. When I resist or stiffen against what God is wanting to do, I can maybe push my way. God has given me this capacity of choice, self-determination, free will. And I can push for my way, but often I think when we do so, it is to our hurt, to our detriment, and so it was with Hezekiah. Begging, pushing, pleading, crying for extra time, for an extension to his life. God gave it to him. But the consequences were disastrous. During this time, 3 years later, Manasseh was born. When Hezekiah died, Manasseh was only 12 years old. But he came to the throne at the age of 12. So we read in chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 55 years in Jerusalem. Now here to me is again one of those things that people say, well, I don't know why God, and I surely don't either. He had the longest reign of all of the kings of Israel. Now, if I were God, I would have cut him short. The minute the guy went that path of wickedness, I'd say, all right, man, that's it. And I would have cut him off. I wouldn't have given him 55 years on the throne. Here we have some good kings that were cut short. They didn't have a very long reign. Here's a wicked, evil king. God lets him stay there for 55 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. The practices of the Canaanite religions were unspeakably vile. Their abominations were horrible. It was because of their horrible abominations that God drove them out of the land, that God destroyed them, using the people of Israel as his tool of judgment. God was striking out against the vile, abominable practices of the people of Canaan. And it was for these abominations that God drove them out of the land and ordered the children of Israel to utterly destroy. Don't leave any of them because of the vileness of their practices. And so Manasseh matched the evil practices of the people, the Canaanites. The Canaanite religion, for he actually embraced their religious practices. He built again the high places which his father Hezekiah had broken down. He reared up altars for Baalim, and the I-M in the Hebrew is the plural ending, so for the Baals, the Baal was the name of the god, and of course they would have many statues, idols for Baal, and so they became the Baalim, the plural. He made the Ashtoreth, or Asherim in the Hebrew, again the plural, the nude little statues in all kinds of provocative positions, designed to inflame the passions and lust of man. The sexual female goddess worshipped in all forms and types of sexual rituals and licentious sexual rituals, massive orgies, total debauchery. And he made these images, the Asherim, and established this worship of sex. He worshiped all the host of heaven, that is the zodiac, the constellation and the positions of the planets within the constellations. And then he followed them, he served them, he guided his life according to the supposed mystic influence of the stars at a particular position at your birth and how they control you through your whole lifetime. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, that is, altars for the pagan gods, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. here in this holy city, the city of God, the place where God's name was to be forever. He was seeking to obliterate the name of God, and he was seeking to set up all of these false pagan idols.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the long reign of Manasseh. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
There's so much for us to absorb and to learn. But the heart of the matter is this. If you put God first in your life, if you do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, you'll have a successful life. God will be with you. God will bless you. God will take care of you. If you forsake the Lord, if you live after your own flesh, your own pleasure, then you are courting disaster for your life. You're going to end up in bondage, captivity to your own flesh. And so the bottom line is, seek the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord. Put him first in your life, that you might be blessed of God, with his hand of blessing upon you. And may this week we seek the Lord, putting him first, in Jesus' name.
Have you ever thought about this simple phrase, God loves you? This just might be the most important truth you could ever grasp, that God has called you into a loving relationship with himself. Unfortunately, many of us have been brought up to think that we need to earn God's love. In Chuck Smith's book, Why Grace Changes Everything, Pastor Chuck imparts years of wisdom from his own experiences, how he thought he had to work hard and deny his own desires for God to love him. But when he unlocked the secret to God's grace, this changed everything. Come alongside Pastor Chuck to discover an astonishing truth about your relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's not based upon your works, but based upon God's love for you. It's true. Grace changes everything. To find out more and to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.